Closer to home, the government here committed to more stringent targets, outdoing what many see as their already ambitious aims. Now, they will seek to cut carbon emissions by almost 80% by 2035, bringing their targets forward by 15 years. However, while they are both positive steps forward, they come in the same week as a new UN report was published saying that there was a relentless intensification of the climate crisis last year, despite lockdowns drastically reducing global emissions for several months. Well, joining us now to discuss the latest is Richard Allen, Professor of Climate Science at the University of Reading. Professor Allen, good morning to you. Thanks very much for coming on the programme, much appreciated. We'll come to the UN's latest report in a moment, but firstly, starting with the government's new climate targets, what's your impression of it?
Well, I mean, they seem ambitious and world-leading on face value, so that's definite positive. Their track record in meeting previous commitments is, you know, not entirely adequate. So the main concern is that although they're ambitious, will they be able to meet the stringent target, the cuts in greenhouse gas emissions that they're targeting?
So it's really then a question of whether the reality matches the ambition. I mean, do you think this is realistic? And also, crucially, I suppose, given the stage that we're at in this crisis and how serious it is, do you think that this would, if it was met, do enough to match the rate at which climate change is currently evolving and progressing?
Well, I think this sets the standard for what needs to be done to get towards limiting climate change to 2 degrees C above pre-industrial levels. Clearly, it needs the whole world to, have similarly ambitious targets, and that's ongoing in terms of engagement across the world, in terms of understanding the science of climate change, understanding the impacts and adaptation and mitigation options that are available, and leading in, of course, to the COP26 meeting in Glasgow in November.
Sorry if you can hear the dog barking in the background. I think someone's at the door. In terms of that, then, as you said, Britain is fairly advanced and compared to the rest of the world with these targets. I mean, you know, I guess it's a common argument, and I'm guessing a common argument that people perhaps put to you when discussing it, which is, you know, is it essentially futile us trying so hard when other countries aren't doing nearly as much? What do you say to that?
Yeah, that's a common argument, but it's a non-argument, really, because obviously doing nothing because you think that other countries are going to do nothing is if everyone thinks like that, nothing will get done. But the fact is that all different countries are engaging in terms of the science of climate change, understanding it and projecting what's going to happen in the future, and are engaging all the major economies now, USA, China, EU, are engaging, even if their ambition needs to be stepped up. They're all engaging. So it takes individual countries, I think, to take leadership, and I think the UK is doing this and setting out these ambitious targets, which are based on a lot of good science, based on the Committee for Climate Change, for example.
And I guess as well an argument to go with that is the fact that with all the resources that we're lucky enough to have in Britain, it makes it perhaps somewhat easier for us to strive to those targets than perhaps in less developed nations, I guess. I mean, you talked about the ambition and the reality perhaps sometimes not matching up. What exactly needs to happen? Which steps need to be taken in order to achieve these goals, do you think?
Well, I mean, there needs to be wholesale changes across the economy. I mean, the government has, for example, targeted particular sectors, has highlighted particular sectors, like, for example, factories and industrial hubs are one area where they produce a lot of emissions. There's some movement towards targeting particular sectors, but generally it's got to go across the board. So, you know, transport, integrated transport based on renewable power, domestic heating, we've got to move from gas boilers to renewable based low carbon based air heat pumps, ground heat pumps, things like that, batteries. There's got to be large increases in renewables. One thing, for example, France, I noticed recently, is going to do is it's going to ban short-haul flights where a train journey will be less than 2.5 hours, which makes a lot of sense. Getting rid of unnecessary flights is really important because that sector is, you know, was growing rapidly before COVID.
Yeah.
Agriculture and food, I mean, the way we implement agriculture, even the way we plant seeds, can help to store more carbon if we drill holes rather than plough up fields. And food, everyone at home can do stuff like, you know, eating much less or no red meat, reducing carbon miles in terms of the food. There needs to be better labelling in supermarkets, for example, of what is a more sustainable food. And I think it involves, as well as the government targets, which are like top-down targets, it involves local and bottom-up strategies. So, for example, in Reading, we've got a local hydro project on the Thames. In University of Reading is striving to become the most sustainable, low-emission intensity university, for example. It's got to be at the city level, at the institute level, as well as government targets. So there's a range across the board, really.
And I guess, as you say, a kind of multi-layered, multi-pronged approach to this. And on that front, do you feel that kind of maybe enough is happening fast enough or not? Do we really need to shift into another gear, do you think?
I think you're right. I think we do need to shift into another gear. We are gradually going up the gears, but we're not quite finding the right gear occasionally.
Yeah.
So at the moment, the ambition and the actual action is inadequate to limit climate change below 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels.
Which is crucial.
So we do need a ramping up. Yeah, we do need a ramping up of this ambition and action to meet this. So, yeah, it's not happening fast enough, but there are noises and movement in the right direction.
And, I mean, moving on to the latest UN climate report, which I mentioned just before, it said that there was a relentless intensification of the climate crisis last year, despite lockdowns drastically reducing global emissions at one point for several months. Clearly, it's extremely worrying, but just how concerned should we be, do you think, about that, about what it has to say?
Well, we should be very concerned, but not surprised, since, you know, what's happening is in line with what's been expected and what's been predicted based on the best science available. But in terms of, you know, what's going on, you know, we're seeing that climate change is accelerating rather than slowing down. You mentioned, obviously, during the lockdowns, there's been a drop in emissions, in carbon dioxide emissions. But it just really highlights the point. You can't just slow the rate of carbon emissions to slow down climate change, because actually CO2 levels in the atmosphere have risen just as much as they have done every year. To actually start dropping carbon dioxide levels, you've got to actually start, you know, moving emissions down to net zero. You've got to even start taking CO2 out of the atmosphere through artificial methods. So it really underlies the fact that, you know, at the moment, climate change is still happening. It's accelerating rather than slowing down. Ocean is heating more rapidly. Glaciers and ice sheets are melting more quickly. And both of these effects are actually causing the sea level rise to accelerate, because the oceans are expanding as they get warmer, and also more water is being added to the oceans from the melting land ice. So all these things are happening. Impacts are also appearing: more intense heat waves, droughts, flooding from heavy rain, and coastal inundation. But we're also seeing other impacts, like coral reefs are dying due to more intense and frequent marine heat waves, but also acidification. The ocean's becoming less alkaline because it's uptaking CO2, without which the atmosphere would have even higher levels of CO2 and the climate would be changing even faster. So all these factors mean that climate change is relentless. It's actually accelerating rather than slowing down, and we need rapid action to really slow down climate change and then bring it to a halt.
And I mean, it is incredibly frightening, some of the things which are already happening. I mean, despite that, do you think there is still cause for optimism? I mean, are you optimistic about the possibility of being able to stop climate change before it's too late?
Well, I am optimistic in the sense that I think things are moving in the right direction. They're moving far too slowly, but with the ramping up of this ambition and the ramping up of the actual action, I think we can limit climate change to below, you know, limit it to levels that we are capable of adapting to. Mm-hmm. However, I think, you know, limiting it to this 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels, which is one of the major goals of the Paris Climate Accord, that's, you know, becoming more and more difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think 1.5 degrees is extremely, extremely difficult now. 2 degrees is possible if there's a really massive ramping up of action to slow the CO2 rises in the atmosphere. But nevertheless, it's never too late, because we can always avoid some of the worst changes of climate change. And at this stage, the idea is, you know, we've got to be able to limit climate change, but we've also got to be planning for adapting to the climate change which is inevitable.
Well, on that somewhat optimistic but equally quite sobering note, I suppose we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning. I really do appreciate it.
No problem. Nice to talk to you.
That was Richard Allen, Professor of Climate Science at the University of Reading, talking about the government's newly updated climate targets and the latest UN report published last week, which said that last year saw a relentless intensification of the climate crisis, despite lockdowns drastically reducing global emissions for several months.